Friday, August 7th, and the inmates are running the asylum on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers, in for Adam Azer, with Al Melchior and Scott White. What's up, guys?
We're inmates, huh?
Yeah.
Inmates.
You
include yourself in
it's
it,
a so. Colloquial term for when the person who is typically in charge of a thing goes away and the people who are typically not in charge. It's an idiom. I'm not calling you literal inmates, guys. No offense meant.
It just seemed like
you guys were jumping down my throat a little bit. I didn't want to get off on the wrong
foot. If we didn't react to it with its colorfulness, it would have been awkward. And this somehow isn't. I don't know.
No, this is definitely there's never anything awkward on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We have some fill in the blank. We're gonna debate the relative merits of Preston Tucker. We've got big news. We'll get to some DFS stuff. We'll look at Week 19 hitting and pitching advice. But first, Doug Fister no longer in the Washington Nationals rotation. I think
that deserves a fist pump.
Because you never want to celebrate when someone loses their job. But Doug Fister's still on the team. He's still getting paid. He's fine.
See, yeah, I feel awkward. I feel uneasy about this because this is what I wished for.
Yes.
We were very public in our desire for this to happen.
You know what?
Let's just hope Doug Fister's family isn't listening.
Exactly. Well, that's part of it. I go on Twitter last night, and this is where I learned the news, I think very shortly after it happened. And one of the first comments I saw was, Fister to the bullpen, what a lack of respect. And suddenly, something I was joyous about, I felt bad.
Lack of respect for Doug Fister, but outpouring of respect for Joe Ross.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. It's not disrespect for Doug Fister. It's just we really respect Joe Ross,
and
who
we
is
should.
Now.
Let's be honest. We want fantasy points. We want fantasy
exactly.
value.
Exactly, and Joe Ross has a lot more fantasy value than Doug Fister. He continues to be a tremendous presence for the Washington Nationals in the rotation, and he will be so for the foreseeable future. 45 innings pitched, 47 strikeouts, only 4 walks, 2.80 ERA, and he's only 48% owned. That needs to go up. How high does that need to go?
Well, we got to temper it somewhat because without an innings limit, I mean, I think it should be in the 90s.
Yeah.
But he may only pitch another 30 or so innings this year.
Okay.
He could be shut down at the end of August. He could have his turn skipped a few times.
Are you just deducing that based on his past innings totals, or did you see the Nationals talking
about it? That is deduction. It would be very unusual for him
if he was that close to reaching his limit. I'm surprised they'd make this decision, because then they'd have to go back and stretch out Fister all over again. And
well, there were quotes about how if they sent him to the minors, they could manage his innings, which they had been doing with him in the minors, like mm-hmm. 5 innings a start. And they can't really do that in the majors.
No,
so it's not as if, you know, some sort of innings limit isn't in the discussion there.
Yeah.
In terms of the number, yeah, that's based on, you know, kind of, you know, standard procedure, you know, not exceeding about a 30% increase year to year.
I think anytime you're talking about a young pitcher, you have to be aware of the potential for that. But I don't want to downplay the enthusiasm, because it's I'm in so many leagues that it's rare that I take the time to, in the middle of the week, go through every single one of them to see if a player is available. And when I found out about this, I did that with Joe Ross, because he's like the trifecta of what you look for in a pitcher: strikeouts, control, and ground balls. And it's translated to really good results. The only reason he wasn't widely owned is because we weren't that confident he'd remain in the rotation.
Yeah, and all right, so let's talk about who you might drop for him. Are you dropping Matt Latos for him?
Yes.
Are you dropping Scott?
Yeah.
No, I'm not dropping Scott for him.
Taylor Youngman.
You. Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Lance McCullers.
Yeah,
him too. I think I am, because he, I think, is more apparently close to that limit. And
yes.
Ross is just as good.
If you picked up Luis Severino, 81% owned in CBSSports.com leagues, are you dropping him this week for Joe Ross?
I am.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Well, I would rather have Joe Ross, for sure.
I mean, if we're talking Like, I don't want to drop any of these pitchers, just to be clear about that. It's just if you're facing that tough decision.
It's
where
only within the context of. I had someone ask me on Twitter last night, would you drop Jordan Zimmermann for Joe Ross?
No, come on.
I don't think so either, but I think it's an interesting. It's not something that I would dismiss immediately. And Steven Strasburg expected to come back from the DL Saturday against Colorado. Where is he in your rankings right now?
I'm thinking around 15. I'm looking and finding out it's actually 17.
All right. And you think that's where he will be the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Scott, what about you?
Where do I have him? That range sounds right. I mean,
I'm looking at points leagues. You got him 23rd.
23rd.
I don't know if you have him differently.
Actually behind Zimmermann, but I'll probably move him at least ahead of Zimmermann. And I think that's it, because beyond that, you have Waka, Carrasco, Fernandez, Lester, Cueto. I think given the inconsistency he's shown when healthy this season, that seems appropriate. Obviously, there's the potential for him to move into the top 10 if he gets back to what he was doing before this latest DL stint when he seemed to be back on track.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Speaking of rankings, Al, we had a little discussion, an impromptu discussion about Preston Tucker last night. Who you
last night,
love.
Yesterday. Yesterday mm-hmm. morning. Or afternoon. Some people listened to it
last night. Thursday. Al, you love Preston Tucker.
Yeah, I do.
Talk to me about Preston Tucker. What do you see? Take us into the mind of an Al Melchior.
I'll take you into the mind of well, there's more than one, but this one. I see a lot of power. I see a lot of power, and I see great numbers against righties. So... yeah, I have him ranked very high, and that said, that doesn't make him must start, because if he's got a schedule, you know, in a week with a slew of lefties, I'm not starting Tucker, but I'm starting him in three outfielder leagues otherwise, and certainly anything deeper, because at every level, he's hit for power. For the most part, he's had decent strikeout rates, and when you just look at what he's done this year, I mean, he's had, you know, months of May and July that were just outstanding, hitting 300-plus with power, and then June was just a stink bomb.
Yeah,
and that really doesn't fit in with his previous track record. And it sort of, you know, fits the typical narrative too for a rookie of, you know, come up and you know, do very well and then have to make adjustments. So yeah, I love him as a power and run production source and potentially batting average source in the outfield.
He has great power. He's been great against right-handed pitchers, like you've said, but that's only enough, I feel like, in leagues where he's facing nothing but right-handed pitchers, because, I mean, you look at his week-by-week point total. He's had he's been in the majors now, it looks like, 14 weeks. Only once has he scored even 20 fantasy points, and only four times has he scored 15. Four out of 14. That's not a lot of production happening there, and... I mean, I just look at some of the outfielders you have him ranked ahead of. Shinsu Chu, okay, I can understand that. Peralta, he's kind of in the same boat, only doing well against right-handers.
How about...
But then Ryan Zimmermann, Randall Grichuk,
a right-handed version of Preston Tucker and Randall Grichuk, who doesn't have the platoon issues.
Yeah.
I have a little bit more trust, I suppose, in Tucker than in Grichuk. And look, I mean, I have them four spots apart, so I'm saying they're essentially comparable. But Tucker strikes, I mean, rather Grichuk strikes at a lot more.
Yes.
So his value right now is being boosted by BABIP, which I think in turn is being boosted by a really super high hard contact rate. Maybe he can sustain that, but I have fewer worries about the batting average with Tucker.
But in terms of how it's actually translated to production, while Tucker's had 1 week with 20 points, Grichuk's had four.
You're looking backwards. I'm looking forwards. I could see some potential batting average regression with Grichuk. And Tucker, you know,
Has to do more than just maintain. He has to exceed dramatically what he's already done to be valuable in fantasy.
Dramatically?
Dramatically, yeah. That's not even close to being a mixed league or a points league relevant guy. The numbers he's
put up. I don't have an answer for why those point totals aren't higher, but when I look at the slash line, the peripherals, those to me are clearly a mixed league outfielder, standard mixed league outfielder.
All right, someone who is not mixed league relevant right now, Our tweet of the day from Ben Garrity. Can you discuss whether Chris Carter is ever going to play again and expectations for the rest of the year? He has not started any of the Astros' last four games. Do we think he gets back into the everyday lineup at some point?
You know, only kind of by accident, I think. If someone gets injured or Luis Valbuena goes ice cold, or maybe if, you know, Evan Gattis were to go ice cold. But I, you know, I'd put his chances of getting back in the lineup on even a semi-regular basis at about 20%.
All right. Let's move on to the big news. Brad Ausmus thinks Miguel Cabrera could be back by the end of the month. That's the end of August. So that would leave him with what? Four weeks of fantasy relevance?
I even saw a more optimistic thing than that. They have an eight game homestand, I think, beginning Monday.
Okay.
And I saw they were saying the end of that eight game homestand. So
I
potentially
saw that too.
End of next week.
Okay, so potentially the end of next week. Well, probably the start of the following week if it's the end of the eight-game homestand. But
certainly in terms of whether you play him in fantasy, you're talking 2 weeks from now.
So that would be the start of, what, week 20? So that gives you maybe 4 weeks of fantasy relevance. Most playoffs start week 23, right? Something like that?
I think that's probably the most common. And then, you know, of course, there's, you know, Roto, where he's going to, even in the worst-case scenario then, assuming that late August would be the worst case, you know, a full month.
Would you trade for Miguel Cabrera?
In Roto, yeah, I definitely would. Probably less so in a format that had playoffs.
Still at a discount, I mean.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
for sure he's coming back
yes.
2 weeks from now.
All right, Mike Leake will miss today's start due to a hamstring. Bruce Bochy is not sure if Leake will miss more than one start. David Wright could begin a rehab assignment Monday. What are your expectations for him?
They're minimal, but it's a lot of upside. So I think that makes him worth picking up if somebody dropped him. I mean, especially if you need a third baseman. I think, you know, Justin Turner's another guy who, and I'm mentioning him because he's also probably filling a DL spot for you. He's another guy who, like Preston Tucker, has these great percentages, but it hasn't actually translated to much production.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's because Don Mattingly sits him every third or fourth day for some dumb reason. I'd rather take a chance on Wright, even with this spinal stenosis, which sounds like it could be a career-ending condition when all's said and done. And Wright even acknowledged he may have to take more days off. But I still think the upside for him is higher than somebody like Turner. And he's the preferable stash for me, at least in standard mixed leagues.
All right. Chase Utley has not played since June 22nd, and Cesar Hernandez has been the number two shortstop in Roto leagues since June 23rd, which is a pretty astounding statistic, and I cannot believe that's actually true. What happens to him with Chase Utley set to make his return today but not playing every day?
Well, not playing every day, but I was reading something, CSNPhilly.com, saying it sounded like he was going to get regular playing
yes.
time, if not every day. So Hernandez would play some shortstop. Galvis would play some center field. But this doesn't really sound good for Hernandez's value. It sounds like he's going to lose, I would think, at least a couple days a week.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, I know, like, Ruben Amaro Jr. is committed to this youth movement
yes.
now, and he said, like, at the start of this hot streak for Hernandez, like, even when Utley comes back, Hernandez is my second baseman. I guess he's rethinking that now, but it was kind of an eye-opener at the time because
yeah.
it's like, you know, Utley's pretty historic, you know, for the history of the franchise, ranks pretty high up there.
One of the best players they've ever had.
Yeah.
You're not dropping Cesar Hernandez if you have him, right?
Not yet.
Because I think he is someone that you know, is more of a quantity over quality guy. I know he's hitting really well, but not huge stolen base numbers, decent stolen base numbers. So I think if he loses a couple games per week, that could definitely start to push him down on the fantasy relevance
yeah,
chart.
It would affect him more than, you know, a guy with a lot of power or something.
Yeah.
But I actually have dropped him
okay.
during this stretch where he's been the starter and have picked him up again.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, like, I think you could maybe get away with dropping him, provided there's somebody else you want to start a shortstop more.
Yeah, not a huge name, doesn't have a lot of cachet.
So the fantasy relevance chart, is that the same thing as our rankings page, or is that something
It's
different?
Like a Hertzsprung-Russell diagram, you know? Is that?
Actually, I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
well, I'm a nerd. I think it's an X and Y, and one is like the relative brightness of stars, and the other one is the size, mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay.
I'll look for that. All right. I can find that on our site.
There's your science thing. Yeah, CBSSports.com/Hertzsprung-Russell diagram.
Aldebaran.
What's that?
Aldebaran.
I don't know what that is.
It's a star.
Oh, okay.
I said it wrong the first time, though, which makes me sound not very smart.
Oh, okay. Michael Gutierrez could be back tomorrow. Speaking of stars, Michael Gutierrez could be back tomorrow.
Sorry, one more quick comment about Hernandez, though, which is that Utley could get hurt again.
Yes.
And there could be another change of heart. So I agree with what Scott says, that Hernandez is not beyond dropping.
He's only 56% owned. People haven't been rushing out to grab him, even though he's been very good.
But it's not a case like, you know, I'm saying, oh, he's losing playing time. I've got to find a replacement. I want to see how this plays for a week or two.
Okay. Yeah. Michael Kadire could be back tomorrow. That is Saturday. What do you think that means for Michael Conforto? Do you think they send him down?
No.
Okay.
Because Kadire's been terrible.
Yes.
How about factoring in that it's the Mets?
They're going for it, man.
They are going for it, and they've been doing very well with this lineup since Cespedes joined, so I don't know. I just guessing.
I was surprised when they sent him down the last time, which obviously didn't really take because he never even left town. But
yeah,
I think that's kind of sticky in my mind, that maybe, yes, they're going for it, but maybe they don't view him as a part of that plan.
Well, I think the difference is they sent him down because they wanted either Lagares or Nieuwenhuis in center. Nieuwenhuis, it turned out. And then Nieuwenhuis mm-hmm. went on the I mean, Kadire's not going to play center.
Yeah.
So Conforto became the replacement for a center fielder because they didn't have a replacement for a center fielder, and they still don't.
All right. If we're reaching the end of the fantasy regular season and things might not be going so well for some of us, I don't know about you guys. I've got a couple leagues where things have taken a turn for the worse, but things never take a turn for the worst at FanDuel, at least not for long. You might have a bad day or two, but the great thing about FanDuel is it starts all over the next day. And or maybe you're such a fantasy expert like these two that you just want to keep playing, right? I know that's how Scott feels.
Yeah, I always like to play.
One Day Fantasy Baseball at FanDuel.com starts at just $1. You can play for as much as you want. It's extremely cheap, easy to play. Go to FanDuel.com and use our offer code CBSPOD. Use that code, FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that gets earned as you play. You will have fun playing it just like we have. And enter our tournament, FanDuel.com/CBSPod, only $2 to enter. 150 entries, so sign up quickly and watch DF Live, which one of you is on it tonight, right?
That'd be me.
Al is on it. Al's a superstar. Scott's also
watching
a superstar.
It. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sometimes, you're a superstar, too.
Yeah. Oh, geez, guys.
Sometimes we're analysts, sometimes we're viewers, you know?
Yeah.
Switch it up.
And if you want to play on FanDuel.com tonight, today's giveaway, two free entries into the MLB rally. Tweet at Adam Azer, and he will select two winners for today. He will pick them at random. Let's move on to Thursday's standouts. Victor Martinez, I believe I poo-pooed him just yesterday on this podcast.
You poo-pooed him, and then
he went 2-for-4 with 2 home runs and 5 RBI.
Boom.
But he was 9-for-57 with 1 extra base hit in his previous 16 games. What are we thinking of Victor Martinez right now?
Well, you kind of won me over yesterday. I was actually in the middle of updating my rankings when he hit that second home run, and I just kind of updated them right back, at least his part. But, you know, you mentioned the 1 extra base hit in the last
16 games.
But since coming back from the DL, he has 17 extra base hits total, including 7 home runs. So I still feel like, you know, what happened at the beginning of the season that has had the primary influence on his numbers was rushing back from the knee surgery. He got healthy and then he slumped.
Yep.
And that's kind of the way I see the narrative has gone right now. And I still feel good about him going forward, even though you know, I was beginning to doubt yesterday.
So one game. One game's all it takes. You trust
two homer
him that
game.
Much.
He's white hot now.
And I was already inclined to. You'd like just kind of.
The good sign is that they were both off a right-handed pitcher. That's been his struggle all season long. And since he's come back from the DL, he's been better. I want to take a look and see, like, exactly what he's doing against right-handed pitching since coming back, because that's really going to determine he's going to get most of his plate appearances against them.
I'm trying to remember the stat at the time, because it was during the All-Star break. We did a video on him, and it was like he had one extra base hit against righties before going on the DL, and then he had like
He came back and was hitting really well against righties. I wrote a blog about that. I want to know what it's like since.
Okay.
Because he went in this massive cold streak. Yordano Ventura is still 77% owned. He gave up 6 runs in 5 innings, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks, 8 hits, 2 home runs allowed against the Tigers yesterday. 5.29 ERA, 75 strikeouts in 95 and a third innings. At what point do we just give up on the dream?
We're there. For this season. I'm there.
He was.
There's always a reason or an excuse.
You would drop him
for Joe Ross.
I
did. Last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Would you drop him for Taylor Youngman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anibal Sanchez also struggled. He is 91% owned. Is that too high?
Yeah. I'm pretty done with him for the year, too. I mean, there's really
not a lot of time left in his career to get back on your good side, though. He's you know, into his 30s here.
Yeah, there's life after 30.
All right. I'm not saying that. I know I'm the young guy on the podcast. I'm not being an ageist. Zach Greinke.
Sanchez. Wow. You're making me feel old. He's 32 days older than me.
And he's what, 32?
31.
31.
Yeah.
2006 is a long time ago, man. It's when he made his major league debut. Zach Greinke gave up a home run to Dominic Brown. Gave up 6 runs to the Phillies, and that was the only pitcher in Daily Fantasy last night, or yesterday, if you were playing the day slate, that you looked at and said, I feel good about this guy. Everybody else, hot, stinky garbage.
The night slate, too, for that
matter. Oh, no, all day. But there weren't even any good pitchers during the day besides Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke, it turns out.
Yeah, and he gave up 6 runs. ERA ballooned to 171 for the season. No worries about Zach Greinke, right?
No.
Are there any rotation changes, speaking of Doug Fister, any rotation changes that you'd like to see down the stretch?
We love the open-ended question that we're not prepared for.
I know. Kyle Loesch is out of the Milwaukee rotation. Tyler Crabbe will start against St. Louis tonight. Is there anybody you'd rather have there get the call, get a look in September?
Yeah, I just said before we started podcasting, I mean, I just, for very selfish reasons, was hoping Zach Davies would get the call. I thought that he would be sort of on the fringe of getting called up for the Orioles this year, and instead they, you know, had gone with Tyler Wilson and Mike Wright. And I figured when there was some rumblings that Loesch was out of the mix, not really thinking about Cravey, who's already been up a couple times, thinking, okay, this is Davies' opportunity. And he's, you know, not a dominating type. Mm-hmm. But
he came over in the Gerardo Parra trade, just because I'm not sure everybody listening knows.
I skipped
that
over that. So he's not a dominating type, but I have him. I say it's for selfish reasons. I have him in dynasty leagues. I have him in an AL only. So he's a good control type who I think could have the sort of success we've seen so far from Aaron Brooks, although he doesn't have the nice ballpark that Brooks has.
Yeah, Milwaukee. I don't think it has the reputation as a big hitter's park, but it's a pretty good hitter's park. But if he got the call, he could be a September call-up, you think?
I think there's a chance, yeah.
All right, let's move on to or was there anybody you wanted to talk about?
Well, I do think Cravey's kind of interesting himself, just because he's relief pitcher eligible.
Yes.
And, you know, the one start he made, was it back in May? Was good.
Yes.
And his numbers at AAA, considering it's Colorado Springs in the PCL, they were respectable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he could be any more than respectable, but that relief pitcher eligibility.
Yeah, respectable. If you're a warm body as a SPARP,
that
puts you on fantasy radars. Let's move on to the benchometer, right? That would be benchometer. 0 to 10. 10 is we're sitting him. How do you feel about William Hamilton? 0 for his last 15. He's hitting .222 on the season. Does have 51 steals. Number 18 outfielder in rotisserie leagues. What do you make of him being a top 20 roto outfielder? It's just the one category, right?
That's kind of the argument I made against drafting him at the beginning of the season, because he may technically rank high in that formula that weighs all the categories against each other, but practically speaking, the way you play rotisserie, like, he's just one category, and if you don't have much else in that category, I could see him being that valuable to you. But if you do, then he's hurting you more than he's helping you.
Yeah. Well, you reach a certain point where each extra stolen base doesn't help you that much. But I'm looking at one of my category-based leagues. I'm in the lead in stolen bases for the season. My team only has 122. And, you know, the next closest team is 100. It's tied for 122, and there's 119. There's some teams that Billy Hamilton has more steals than.
Yeah.
So that, you know, he can kind of single-handedly win you that category. There aren't a lot of players. There's really no other player in baseball that you can say can single-handedly, you know, move you up from number six in the rankings to number one. Well, you know, just by himself now.
Yeah.
Their argument is he is murdering you in every other potential way.
Right. And, you know, 2 points. One is just really echoing what Scott said, that, you know, if he's creating overkill in a category, then he's not providing all the roto value that the roto formula would, you know, suggest.
Yes.
The other thing, too, is just that when I did offseason projections, I just thought Hamilton would be better. I thought I'm just going top of mind here. I can look it up. You know, I thought he'd be, I think, at least a 260 hitter. You know, so that's a big difference.
Yes, yeah, still has a very low BABIP for his speed, only 260. Yeah. He was at 304 last season. His power's gone down. And the problem is he is a fly ball pitcher without much, or fly ball hitter without much pop. And so that's not a great combination. On the bench meter, where are you at?
I mean, in a points league, it's 10.
Yeah,
in a roto,
number 39 in a points league. So that's like, that's outside of starting caliber in a 12 team.
I know I just talked about how I don't like him, but I don't think it's the worst thing to start him, because it's so many steals, like you're saying.
In a head to head format or a roto?
Well, because he's still 39th in head to head. I mean, that's on the fringes of being started.
Yeah. So more of like a 7.
Yeah.
I mean, really, by the time you factor in your utility slot, it's, you know,
yeah,
he's startable.
Beyond the fringes, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe I'm being irrational here, but I would rather go with somebody else for my third outfielder in points league. And in roto, there's no way I'm setting him. So I'm at the extremes. 0 for roto.
Todd Frazier, ice cold. The home run derby ruined his swing. 169, 2 home runs, 11 RBI since the All-Star break. Where is he on your benchometer?
0.
Yeah, 0.
Yeah, that's probably a smart way to go about it. Is Hector Rondon under-owned 66%?
No, I don't think so. Between the, you know, merry-go-round of the Cubs closer situation, and while I do think Rondon's the best of their options, he's probably not the best of what our options might be on waivers in the standard or shallow league.
I would imagine
he's not. He's not. I can. That's the one. Like 66 doesn't sound too high in a vacuum, but just compared to other relievers who, you know, have the role, he's more owned than AJ Ramos and Ken Giles and.
And those guys are just better pitchers.
Roberto Ozuna.
Yeah.
You know, others, too. Those are just the most notable of them. There's also Ziegler and Aroldis Vizcaino. So I think you could make a case all of them should be more owned than Rondon, because who knows who's getting the next save for the Cubs.
Aaron Brooks at 10%, struck out 7, allowed 1 run against the Astros last night in 7 innings. He has a 2.41 ERA with 15 strikeouts in 18 2/3 innings. Is he under-owned?
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm going to say a little.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. We had a, you know, kind of a nice debate last night on Daily Fantasy Live where I was definitely the wet blanket on Brooks. Some of that was just the context of the slate, but I'm very surprised that Brooks is doing this well.
It's a good park for him, but I think he's going to be one of those pitchers who you can only start at home or other extreme pitchers' parks.
Yeah, and he has, Houston is a good offense, but they are prone to
strikeouts. I don't trust the strikeouts.
They are a bit of a boom or bust team, and he played against the Indians in the first starts, and that's another, or his last start, and that's another team that not exactly the most overwhelming offensive club. What about Eduardo Rodriguez? 69% owned, 5 strikeouts, 2 runs, 7 innings against the Yankees. Adam put the notes together. He put him in under-owned. I think he's over-owned. What do you guys
over-owned?
Think? I think so.
And
I'm going to disagree.
I think his porridge is just right.
He's been pretty bad for a while.
He's had 3 starts where he gave up 6 earned runs or more.
Okay.
The rest have been great.
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 Okay.
Legitimately great. They've been like this, if not better.
All right.
So
do you think he's under-owned at 69%?
I mean, after his last start, I would have said no, but, it kind of reminds me of Carlos Rodon, except without the embarrassingly high walk rate.
Yeah.
Like, there's just enough of those great starts to keep you coming back. I think if you're consistent about how you use Rodriguez, when he's making 2 starts, and that might be the only scenario I use him in a standard mixed league, but I think he's worth keeping around just for that because the upside is higher than whatever flavor of the week pitcher off waiver wires would be.
All right. Aaron Hicks, 37% owned. Under-owned Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, that strikes me as a little too low still.
Former top prospect. Yep. Couldn't do anything for the first couple of years of his career, but he's put up pretty good numbers so far.
And I've been encouraged, especially by what he's done lately. I've always liked his strikeout-to-walk ratio, and if he ever figured things out, that was going to make him pretty much a standout. But something I noticed yesterday in preparing for Daily Fantasy Live, he's a switch hitter who's done basically everything against left-handed pitchers this year. And I think his home run yesterday was also against the lefty, Mark Burley.
Mm-hmm.
That is the 5th and 6th against left-handers this year. And obviously he's facing fewer left-handers than right-handers.
Yep.
So, especially because he's a switch hitter, I just wonder if his swing is good enough from the left side still. I mean, considering the struggles he had to begin his career. So I think it's a little too low, but I'm not quite as excited about him as I was 4 or 5 days ago.
All right, Chris Davis, 3 for 5 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI Thursday. He's 5 for 9 with 3 extra base hits in his last 2 games, hitting .244. 9 home runs on the season. Is he under-owned at 25%?
He's definitely under-owned. I don't know what the increase, if there's been one, since he went back to being a regular.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there should have been much more of a jump there because he can get very hot power-wise.
Really good power.
Yeah.
Not so much a head-to-head option
no.
because he strikes out too much. And Jed Lowry, 39% owned. He's still hitting .300 on the season, only 24 games. He's only been back for a little while. Is he under-owned at 39%?
He's looked good since coming back.
Yeah.
And the key is he's shortstop eligible. So, yes, I would say pretty
it's kinda like,
drastically
under-owned. Kind of like what I said about Sparps earlier, if you have a pulse at shortstop.
I think if you like Jung Ho Gong, you should like Jed Lowry.
All right. What about over-owned? Chris Heston, 93%. I said he might be a decent DFS play yesterday. I think he was my pick, and as a couple people on Twitter reminded me, not so much with the good pick. He only went 4
Twitter's
innings,
good for that.
5 runs allowed. And, it happens. I'm not worried about that. But
I hated that. Because I made such a passionate argument yesterday for Mark Burley, right? Who had a great start, won the game.
Yeah.
I actually switched after the podcast to Heston. And the way I accounted for the $200 increase from Burley to Heston was a $200 decrease from Edwin Encarnacion to Mark Teixeira. So that cost me probably like 30 points.
Not great. On the other hand, Burley only had 8 points.
Oh, yeah. Was it only eight?
He had five or nine.
With
he had
the
nine
win?
Fantasy points.
Oh, okay.
FanDuel points.
And, so still a lot more than Heston.
And yeah. I thought it was a good argument, too. The Cubs are a really good matchup right now.
Yeah. No.
Look, it just, you know, they're very boomer bust. Do you think he's over-owned at 93%, though?
I definitely think he is.
I don't. I mean.
So, 12-team, mixed league, one-start weeks. Or is it you just want him to, you want to stash him for the two-start weeks?
I mean, just look at his overall numbers. He has a 3.48 ERA. He has a 1.2. It's actually, I'm rounding up to 1.2 whip. 11 wins. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe you could say the wins are a little inflated, but he pitches deep into games normally. When he pitches well, he pitches deep into games. And he pitches for a good team, so.
What's the K rate?
6.8.
Okay. Because that's, for fantasy purposes, probably a little below average.
Yeah.
And so is the ERA. The ERA is, you know,
a little below, but I think the innings kind of make up for it.
All right, how about this? Jason Hamill or Chris Heston? Jason Hamill also owned in 93% of leagues. He has a 3.17 ERA with 120 Ks in 122 innings, but a 4.91 ERA since the All-Star break. Who would you rather have?
Hamill.
I would, too.
Is Hamill over-owned at 93%?
No.
Yeah, agree.
All right.
50% start rate, though, which right now does seem appropriate.
You know, 93 might be a little over-owned for Heston, but at the same time, like, I hesitate to say that because I'm not looking to drop him based on the way his last two starts have gone. And especially if you're talking about a points league where you could start him at relief pitcher, he's the third best SPARP,
yeah.
I think, still behind Martinez and Carrasco, or Carrasco and Martinez. I think Carrasco and Martinez.
Yeah. All right, let's run through fill in the blank very quickly. You guys ready to go quick?
I'm never ready to go quick.
All right,
let's do
Chris
it anyway.
Mickler, blank is / are the prospects who will have the biggest impact in 2016 with a dynasty focus. I'll throw some names out
okay,
there for you. Joseph Gallo.
All right, but we're naming just this is, you know, check all the boxes that apply, right? So Gal would be one. Jose Berrios is a name that popped up for me right away.
I mean, Corey Seager, right?
Yes, definitely. That should have come first.
Do we think there's any chance that the Dodgers can't find playing time for him?
There's a chance, but I think they will.
Remember this time last year when it seemed like Jock Peterson. There you go.
And that's a team that I think Jimmy Rollins is not under contract for next season.
I don't think he is. I don't think Howie Kendrick is either. So Justin Turner's played second base in the past. I don't see why Seager couldn't play second base. Everyone keeps talking about him moving to third.
He's pretty massive, I think. Like, I think he's expected to be too big for shortstop.
Right. But second base isn't as hard to play as shortstop, theoretically.
Yeah, but they tend to be smaller, right? Second basemen tend to be diminutive fellas.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say in general.
Let's throw out a couple more names.
Okay. Aaron Judge.
Lucas Giolito. I believe he's already gotten two AA this season. Julio Urias.
Yeah.
He's only 18, but
I'm not counting on either of those guys next year, but I could see it. Especially Arias. I think Arias has probably the better chance than Giolito. Yeah, because
need.
I just think the Dodgers are being a little more aggressive with him, and Giolito coming back from Tommy John surgery just last year, and the Nationals being, you know, they have a history of being really cautious with those guys.
Jameson Taillon.
And Orlando Arcia and Trey Turner will throw those guys out there as well. They're both in Double A.
Tyler Glasnow.
Tyler
might
Glasnow
actually make
well.
It up this year.
The NL Rookie of the Year, this was from The Real Mike Life, not the fake one. The NL Rookie of the Year this season will be blank.
Well, we kept debating this yesterday, actually, and we were bringing up guys like, you know, obviously the Bryants and Petersons, but Jung Ho Kang, Randall Grichuk is technically a rookie. And then towards the end of the day, I was like, duh, it's going to be Noah Syndergaard, right?
Got a late start. But you keep that ERA in the two range, you're probably going to get in the conversation.
Yeah.
From at Graham F. Morris, Cano will be a top blank second baseman to finish the year. So from this point on, Cano will be what second baseman?
I've got top 10 for sure. I think I've got him like 5 or 6. We'll check. I've got him 6th. So he could be top 5.
Yeah, he could be. I have him 8th.
Blank. This is from Son of Large Mark. Blank will be the biggest rising starting pitcher the rest of the season. So the pitcher who will jump the most in your rankings from this point.
Rest of season.
Who's got breakout potential?
Huh. I mean, if I thought he was... Well, maybe a better way to think of it is, where do I have him in my rankings compared to where he's actually performed so far? And
I'm just going to throw Joe Ross out there. I think that's the most obvious answer.
Well, yeah, that is good.
It's the first name I thought of, but again, you know, there could be a rise with a with a drop.
Sorry. Go
well,
ahead.
I'm going to throw the name Taiwan Walker out there because he's been in a bit of a downturn lately.
Although the last two starts have been very good.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, they've been better. You know, one was superb.
Well, the other one was, seven innings in three runs in Colorado.
Right, so there was a start that on the surface looks okay at Colorado and a start that looked not so great versus the Blue Jays. So
was the one-hitter was three starts ago?
I think so, either two or three. So the point just being that it might look like an uneven record lately, but two of those starts were very, very challenging. Yeah. And, so I think he's due for a big surge.
How about this, Angels fans? Garrett Richards, Andrew Heaney, and maybe the one I expect to rise the most, Matt Shoemaker. All three. So that bodes well for that team, obviously. Matt Latos would be another one, especially with his move to the Dodgers.
Yes.
More wins potential there, obviously. And I like the way he's been going since coming back from the DL anyway.
All right.
I thought Mike Leake would, too, with the trade, but now with the injury.
The hamstring is a little concerning. Steven Strasburg from Chris at ChrisBunn21. Steven Strasburg will have a blank ERA the rest of the season. Give me an exact number and don't deviate from it. I want to the nearest
311.
100.
Obviously, I was going to go with Pi, 314.
All right.
Oh, wow. That's close.
Mm-hmm.
R. Bar Todd. My emails don't get answered because blank.
You're a jerk.
Whoa.
No, R. Bar Todd, he's the guy who made the...
Yeah, he's like the opposite of a jerk.
Yeah, he's made us shirts, right?
Yeah. It's a long answer, but because your emails make everybody else's emails look insufficient.
I would say it's Azer's fault since he's not here.
Oh, I like that answer.
Pete Farmer, how many RBI will A-Rod end up with?
I don't know how many he has.
Yeah. That's where we got to start.
That's the starting point for this.
Alex Rodriguez has 63 RBI in 100 games on the season. How many does he end up with?
I'm 94. I am too.
Well, that's basically what he's on pace for, 95. I don't see any reason to deviate from that.
I'm dropping him one RBI off the pace. A little regression.
And Charlie Blackmon is a blank round player in 2016. That's from Googs, the real Googs.
With a little verified check mark.
Blank round. Okay.
Fifth.
There's no chance
I'm
he gets traded,
fourth.
Right?
I'm sorry.
There's no chance he gets traded, right?
I don't know that you can say there's no chance.
Yeah, I think he could.
Because that alone
as a Rocky,
would be like an 8-round drop, probably.
I would say at least 5. At least 5 rounds. But, yeah, I'll say 5th.
All right, let's move on to our Week 19 advice. Scott, hit us with some hitters.
All right, well.
Who's got the best matchup? The
best matchup is the Mets. And a notable thing about them is 5 of them are going to be left-handers, which is actually a good thing for Lucas Duda if you trust his splits this year. And obviously he's been hot recently. I don't think you'd be sitting him anyway. But it's also really good for Wilmer Flores.
Yes.
And provided he plays enough, Juan Uribe has like an OPS around 900 against lefties this year. He hasn't been playing every day, but he's less than 10% owned. So if you get in a pinch, you could use him. I also like the Padres, Dodgers, Indians, and Phillies matchups this week. The Phillies, Cesar Hernandez is obviously an available player to weak position. And
what about the somewhat resurgent Dominic Brown.
Yeah, I kind of like him this week, because especially since it's 5 out of 6 will be righties the Phillies are facing. 367 with 3 home runs in his last 14 games for Brown. So the power is showing again.
He is alive. He hit a home run off Zach Greinke yesterday.
It'd probably have to be a pretty deep league to turn to him, but I like him this week. Mikel Franco is only about 60% started, so I like him too. Should probably be higher than that. So the teams I don't like their matchups this week: the Pirates, Twins, Rockies, Giants, and I skipped one. The Tigers.
All right.
Don't like any of them. Though in the Rockies' case, they do have spent half the week at home, and I feel like their players are so high end, like it kind of doesn't mean anything to say they have bad matchups. But for the Twins, I mentioned Aaron Hicks splits earlier, and only one left-hander on the schedule, along with the bad matchup. So you're probably sitting him. You're probably sitting Trevor Plouffe. He has been ice cold. Joe Mauer, same way. The Pirates, you could consider sitting Gong, I guess, but he's so high-end that now that it might be tough. Neil Walker's been a cold again after having kind of a hot stretch earlier. The Giants have a few fringy guys, Brandon Belt, Norichika Aoki. That you could probably sit Matt Duffy, even though he's been hot. He's not especially high-end. You probably wouldn't miss his production in a week with tough matchups. And that's pretty much going to do it.
All right.
For that.
Let's move on. You have anything else for the hitters?
Oh, you want to?
No,
I'm
just wondering, because I can move on to pitchers.
Bringing the sponge of knowledge.
Well, not. I didn't mention.
Give me your
their
favorite
teams
tidbit.
In the best mat. I didn't mention their teams with the best or worst matchups, but Randall Grichuk is still dramatically underplayed, and it's not like the Cardinals matchups are bad. And the Diamondbacks face all righties. So
okay.
Good news for David Peralta. Good news for Wellington Castillo.
Those all right.
Yes.
Al.
All right.
Let's talk about some 2-start pitchers.
All right. Now, there's some pretty nice options on waivers, but before we get to those, talk about a few pitchers that aren't widely available, but maybe sitting for people.
One jumps out to me.
Well, more than one jumps out
to me. Very widely available.
All right. Well, then let's start there.
Very hard to trust. Very up and down this season, but he's only owned in 55% of leagues. Ruby De La Rosa goes up against the Phillies and Braves next
season.
Well,
see, when I was saying there are options I like, that's one I really like.
Yeah?
And yeah, very, very good against righties. You just have to be careful when he's facing teams with dangerous lefties. I don't think that the Phillies and Braves are that.
Yeah, especially with Freddie Freeman probably out. Mm-hmm. You know, you could argue that Ryan Howard and Dom Brown are
I'm not going to
sit
De La Rosa for...
Yeah.
It's going to take more than decent to scare me off of Ruby this week.
All right.
So, yeah, he's... I haven't picked my pitcher to target, but he's definitely a finalist for that pitcher to target column. But, yeah, let me just go back to some unavailable options because there's some interesting ones here. Luis Severino is now owned in 81% of leagues, but only starting in 36%. And I would say, you know, you're all excited. You picked him up. Maybe you spent some fab money.
Yeah, you
I'm
can't
setting
start
him.
Yeah, you can't start
at Cleveland, at Toronto, especially the at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, maybe he'll be great, but I don't trust it.
Yeah. That's I think that's the appropriate way to go about it.
Yeah. Taylor Youngman only starting in 53% of leagues, but owned in 78. So you're probably not going to be able to pick him up if you got him. At the Cubs versus the Phillies, those are nice matchups, and Youngman's just been very good.
Yeah, you know, the Cubs have this reputation as a good offense. They hurt Chris Heston last night. They made me look dumb. But, you know, a bottom eight WOBA against right-handed pitchers, and they strike out more than anybody in baseball against righties.
You made the case. Matt Shoemaker, some not really great matchups at the White Sox, at the Royals, but, you know, he's been much better lately.
Yes.
The problem for him is always home runs. That's a little bit of a concern for me with the White Sox.
Yep.
But I would feel pretty good about starting Shoemaker with his recent improvement. And then Giovanni Gallardo, now we're starting to get more towards players who might be available in standard mixed league, 73% owned. at Minnesota versus Tampa Bay, those sound like pretty good matchups. But remember when Gallardo had that big scoreless inning streak? Well, since then, he's really been the opposite of good. 15 strikeouts to 19 walks over 30 and a third innings since that streak ended.
Remember, the Twins and Rays are both pretty hapless against righties this season.
I just think Gallardo will find a way to snatch
to make
defeat.
Them hapful.
Yeah. From the jaws of victory. Yeah. So I'm not trusting Gallardo. Ian Kennedy. Now, I'm not really buying into the resurgence for Kennedy, but if you even have any doubt, he's going to be at Colorado in a second start, so I would not pursue him. So the good ones to pick up. Brett Anderson versus Washington versus Cincinnati.
Perfect timing. Joe Ross has his two-start week.
Yes.
Right as we get the news that he's joining the rotation. It is at Los Angeles, so that's not a great start.
And you see who the scheduled opposing pitchers are.
Zach Greinke and Madison Bumgarner. So, you know, going ace against ace in both matchups.
You got to start him.
I think you probably do.
Yeah, if two starts, you know, maybe he comes away with one win against those two studs. I'm willing to take the risk. So, yeah, Ross to me is actually a must-start. So we mentioned Ruby De La Rosa, Rasmo Ramirez I like versus the Braves at the Rangers. And that's pretty much it. So in terms of guys who are available to target, I would say Shoemaker, Brett Anderson, Ruby De La Rosa, Rasmo Ramirez, Joe Ross. That's not a bad little cohort to go shopping for on waivers.
All right, let's move on to some emails and we will finish up with DFS after that. Hey, Morgan, Casimir, Albuquerque, and sometimes Archer. I'm not sure what this one is.
It's Scott Casimir, Al Albuquerque, Chris Archer, and then I guess Adam Morgan. Yeah.
What's
their? They have the same first names as we do. Yeah.
Got it, Archer.
I get it. I'm in a 10-team 6x6 league. On base percentage and losses are the extra categories. Kyle Seager was just dropped. Drop Michael Franco or Miguel Sano to pick him up.
I would drop Franco for him.
I think, I would drop either for him, Sano first. Yeah, I would drop Sano for him. Sorry, I got lost in Franco and overlooked Sano there.
That was Ross from Kansas City. Mark in Tallahassee, Walt, Skyler, and Walt Jr. For DFS, how often do you end up with money left over after you set your lineup? Often I find I have $100 or $200 left, but when I look at all the places to upgrade, I don't like the players or their matchups as much as the players I already have. Leaves me with a feeling that I'm doing something wrong and I'm not putting the best team together possible. Mm-hmm. Does this ever happen to you?
Pretty much every day, and I am good with it.
Never worry about the leftover money.
I rarely have leftover money. I usually have enough players I like that I can find a way to spend those extra couple hundred. That said, I mean, $100, $200. Isn't that big of a deal? If it
yeah,
was 400 or 500,
yeah. I've left 400 or 500 over.
I don't think I've. I think the most I've ever done is 300.
Yeah, I think the most for me is 400, and that would. I'm okay with that in a tournament lineup.
All right, from John Lance McCullers, what do we do with him? Drop, stash? If he's never going to make two starts, what's the point of owning him?
What's the point? Well, look at his ERA and WHIP. That's the point. But I don't think we're far from dropping him because I don't think he has much left.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much what you said earlier, that if there's somebody that you want to target, it doesn't even have to be, you know, Joe Ross necessarily, I'm good with dropping McCullers.
All right, Hughie, Craig, and Tommy. This is from Zeke from Philly. Are you buying any of these guys rest of season? Chris Bassett, Wellington Castillo, Ryan Howard, or Dexter Fowler? If so, in which formats? I think we're buying Wellington, right?
Boy, yeah, buying Wellington. Had been looking to add him in two catcher leagues the last couple weeks. Ryan Howard, no. Dexter Fowler, he's always on my short list of guys for points leagues. So I'd say Castillo and Fowler the most. Not that interested in Bassett.
I was stuck on last question, that last question about Lance McCullers. His ERA and WHIP rose so much with that last start. 248 to 317.
That'll happen when you
give up six earned runs with one
don't
out.
Make it out of an inning, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not so, it was a bad point I made that considered.
Yeah. Don't dwell on it.
Okay.
Don't dwell on the past.
Okay.
There's no use crying over spilled McCullers. By the way, Hughie Jennings, Craig Biggio, and Tommy Tucker are the top three in career hit by pitches.
Oh.
Interesting.
Samwise, Merry, and Pippin. All short little fellas from the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
So
wait, did you guys really not know that?
Am I
really the only nerd here?
I could not get into Lord of the Rings. I have many nerdy interests. You know, I like Star Trek. I'm fine with the Star Wars, but I'm fine with it.
It's good. He's good with the Star Wars.
You acknowledge their existence.
I'm not like a rabid Star Wars fan, but I have nothing against it. It's fine. I couldn't get into Lord of the Rings. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just Peter Jackson's directing style or what.
Lord of the Rings is a book, so I didn't like the book. But you mentioned Chris Bassett. I feel like we're overlooking something really important here. So 2 days ago, Wednesday, Chris Bassett sent out this tweet. I'm going to show you because there's a visual aspect, which is going to be great for the listeners. Yeah, pretty excited for Bark at the Park. What's wrong with that picture, though? Coming from Chris Bassett.
Oh, it's a golden retriever.
Yeah. And Sean Doolittle picked up on that.
It is not a Bassett hound.
Yeah. He's like, dude, why don't we have a Bassett hound?
I mean, if Matt Latos has Cat Latos, Chris Bassett should have a Bassett hound.
Named Chris Bassett?
I think so. All right. I'm hearing this is Brandon from the wasteland between Tampa and Orlando. Jeez.
Lakeland.
The I-4 corridor.
It's very big during presidential election years.
There you go. Yeah. I'm hearing the Cardinals are going to limit Carlos Martinez's innings. This makes me a little nervous as he's become an integral part of my rotation. Should I see if I can sell on him or hold on and see what the Cards do?
I would try to sell him, but I might not try to sell him today because his last start
wasn't great.
I think I would hope the next one is great. I'd probably try to shop him either way. Because it might get that innings limit will start to close in on you pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that would be my approach.
Start shopping him. Let's move on and talk about DFS. Did you guys set lineups or you just want to talk?
I set lineups.
All right.
So
you know how we haven't had any pitchers the last, it feels like 3 days that there haven't been any good pitchers for DFS. It feels like every single day.
Today's revenge of the stud pitcher.
Yeah, there are a lot. Let's just run through some of the names. I'm just going to give you first names.
Holy cow.
Clayton, Jacob, Jose, Dallas, Cole.
This isn't a
comma,
good strategy.
Garrett, Sonny, Lance. I mean, there are some good pitchers.
Jose's Fernandez, by the way. And Jacob's DeGrom.
I think
they're not first name basis.
They're the
guys.
Jose is.
They are the best
Jose
guys.
Jose is a first name guy.
They are the best guys of their names in the majors.
Could have been Quintana for all anybody.
It
knows.
Wasn't Jose Quintana.
Jose Fernandez is the captain
Jose
of all
Quintana
Jose
might
team.
Pitch today, though. No, he doesn't. All right, so on a night when there are so many aces.
In a world.
Are you paying for Kershaw?
Are you paying $13,400?
No.
For Clayton Kershaw? Because Jose Fernandez is averaging 0.7 fantasy points per game less than Clayton Kershaw.
And that might not even be mine.
He's $2,400 less, and he's going against the Braves. Freddie Freeman-less Braves.
I'm not starting Jose Fernandez.
He's not starting Jose Fernandez
And I'm not starting Clayton Kershaw.
Starting Jacob DeGrom.
I'm starting Jacob DeGrom, who will be the bomb.
Against the Tampa Bay Rays. They are bad against righties.
Yes, they are.
And even Keuchel against Oakland, that's a really good matchup, too. Holy cow. I might have to do a tournament lineup with all four of those guys.
Cole Hamels against the Mariners.
Yeah, that's a little step back. I don't think Hamels is quite as trustworthy. Just relatively speaking. I'm not
sure.
Knocking Hamels.
But that might be a contrarian play against a Mariners lineup that only really has a couple of guys who can hit lefties.
Yeah, it's true.
And in Safeco Field.
My cash guy. Go ahead, Al. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's we could dissect the pitchers all day.
Kershaw's going against Cole.
Yeah.
And who's DeGrom going against?
Odorizzi. You know, which is.
Not Fernandez is going against Julio Teheran, who's been very good at home.
No, I feel pretty good about Jose getting a win.
Trying to talk myself out of Kershaw for my cash play.
I don't know if I ever feel good about the Marlins getting a win at this point.
Well, if he loses, it's, you know, going to be like 2-1. But I know Tehran's been good at home, but I don't really trust him anywhere. And, yeah, Gerrit Cole is a big factor for me going against Kershaw.
But we were just pointing out, I mean, those other matchups are difficult too. Not as bad as Cole, but right. Kershaw's upside is, I mean, he's
Pirates
on another plane right now.
Yeah, Pirates much better than Rays. Cole better than Odorizzi, so I'm going to Grom.
Okay.
Tournament now pitching is kind of interesting too, because, you know, it's not just the studs who are attractive, and you've got you know, some kind of, you know, mid range types with who are much more affordable. I'm going to go with Andrew Heaney.
That's the one I was looking at.
Yep, against the Orioles, who are starting Kevin Gausman, who's, you know, not necessarily a bad option himself.
Aaron Nola against the Padres for 6,100. There are some really intriguing options, no matter how you want to play tonight. You know, there are some days, last night was one of them, where I didn't play. I was just like, I don't like any of this. I don't feel confident in anything that's going to happen. Tonight's a day that I think you can feel a little more confident about what's going to happen. That being said, you're going to have to pay up for one of these pitchers.
Tonight's
give me some
not
bargain
a day,
hitters.
I'm just saying.
What?
Tonight's not a day.
Tonight's a day where you're going to have to pay up for some pitchers. So, who are some cheap hitters that you like? There's so many good pitchers.
Yeah.
How do you find a hitter who's going to do anything against them?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. There are a few that I like. One is Stephen Piscotty at Milwaukee against the recently recalled Tyler Cravey. 2,300 for Piscotty.
Consistently cheap, that guy.
Yeah. Haven't really seen the power yet, but he's getting on base. So for a cash lineup, I like that. And I'm going to need a cheap guy in the cash lineup to make room for DeGrom even at 11-1. I've got Elcides Escobar in that lineup also against John Danks for 2,200.
As Heath Cummings likes to say, if you need a cheap player, there are always Royals to be had.
Yeah, I don't love Salvador Perez, though, who's always cheap.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the Royals is, you know, they're going against John Danks.
Ooh, yeah.
They don't have many hitters. They're good against lefties, but Lorenzo Cain's the only player on their active roster who has an OPS above 800 against lefties this season.
Yeah, he's great.
Probably the one that isn't cheap.
Yeah,
3,600 isn't that bad, right?
And I had to make room for Lorenzo Cain.
I think he's got an 1,100 OPS against lefties, and John Danks is a pretty bad lefty.
Zobrist crushes lefties too, but he's 38. We don't think of him as a Royals.
When I looked it up yesterday or the other day on Fangraphs, I guess he wasn't included in that list. But that is a good call.
Well, Royals are actually my top stack.
Okay.
So against John Danks with both Cain and Zobrist, that could be a part of that. It'd be probably tournament play with those salaries. And then more of a tournament play here, but Derek Dietrich at 2,300 against Julio Tehran I like a lot.
He's been hot.
Yes.
Yep.
Homered last night.
Good things happen when he plays. And he's playing left field pretty consistently right now for the Marlins.
Yeah, playing time finally not a
real
concern.
I don't know if he's playing left field consistently.
He's positioned there.
He's in left field consistently. I'm not sure what he's actually doing out there.
I'm not really missing it, Bob.
What?
He's throwing another Office Space reference out there. The last one went over so well.
I got this one.
I'm so sorry.
I'm on alert now.
All right. Anybody else?
In terms of cheap players, I mean, those are the ones I have in my lineup. So,
and since I haven't made a lineup yet, since I'm not on the show today.
Are you targeting any Cleveland Indians against Mike Palfrey?
You should. That's one of the weaker pitchers. I'd also like to pick on Raisel Iglesias with some Diamondbacks.
Don't pick on Raisel.
And Chase Anderson with some Reds.
You ever have those guys that you just like? You can't really justify it. I just like him. I like Raisel.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's any good. I just like watching him.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, no, there's some players. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well,
I'm, sure
I'm picking on Raisel a little bit because I've got $3,600 Beef Wellington Castillo in my tournament lineup.
Is Paul Goldschmidt still...
It's spendy, but I love that matchup.
Paul Goldschmidt's still only $4,000.
That's cheap.
It
seems crazy.
And
he's...
Yep. For him, it's cheap.
I mean, it's dirt cheap. He was a guy who was in that Bryce Harper, Mike Trout range for a long time this season.
And
he's
just
been...
scored 9.5 points when he last played.
Yeah, he's. I mean,
he's the best. He's the best The FanDuel scoring system is very similar to our head-to-head yeah. points system, and he's the best hitter by far. I mean, it's like a 30-point gap between him, Harper, and Trout.
No, he is a better hitter against lefties. I think he still has 1,000 OPS against righties this season, though. So I don't think you're worried about any platoon splits. Anybody else on your radar?
Well, mentioned Tyler Cravey before. Colton Wong, relatively inexpensive at 2,800.
Yes, he is. His price has fallen a lot.
And while we're talking about guys who could be very good at pretty affordable prices, Adam Jones, not a tough matchup against Andrew Heaney, but at $3,000, I think you try to get him in your lineup.
Miguel Sano's $3,000 going against yep. Cody Anderson. That's another pitcher to pick on today.
That seems like a game that could end up being more high scoring than the teams involved might suggest. So I don't think Cody Anderson's all that good. I know Mike Pelfrey's not all that good.
In that same game, Brian Dozier, $3,300, I think is a good price for him.
Yeah.
His price has fallen. All right, that's going to do it. That is it. Watch DF Live later on today with Al Heath and Matthew Coca. No Ryan Bass, so Heath is in the host chair today. And watch that at 4 p.m. on CBSSports.com. Watch it every Monday through Friday, because I'm on there every once in a while. Probably not today, though.
Every now and then you pop in.
Ah,
not today?
Not today. Okay. I got stuff to do. I'm busy. I'm
okay.
a busy man.
All right.
I'm a busy man.
Hosting
big,
podcasts
big time
and stuff.
In DF Daily Fantasy Live.
I don't think I'm big. I just got things to do. Okay. You know, there's very important basketball stuff to attend to. Plus dodgeball. All right. That's going to do it. Good luck in Week 19 for Al Melchior and Scott White and for Adam Azer, who's not here. I'm Chris Towers. We'll see you next time.